Hello and welcome to another edition of the Remote AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz and joining me today is Robin Chetty. How are you doing, Robin?
Yeah, I think okay.
Neutral. Neutral is my answer to most people these days. I'm not upset. I'm not not sad. Just neutral. Okay, so before we get into this week's podcast, we're actually this week we're going to look at how local businesses have responded to COVID-19, how certain businesses have pivoted, and what some people are offering now. But before that, we're going to jump into some news. I'm going to kick things off with perhaps the, I suppose it's the newer news. Minister of Communication and Digital Technology, Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams, has been put on 2 months of special leave because she decided that it was a good idea to go and visit a friend of hers. What's his name now? His name just escaped me.
Nduduzi
Manana. That's it. Mduduzi Manana. So a picture appeared on Instagram yesterday, posted by Manana, that featured, oddly, Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams having lunch with the former ANC minister. And some folks were quick to ask, well, isn't it lockdown? Are you not supposed to be not socializing? I mean, I would love to go and have lunch with a few of my friends, but unfortunately I can't because there's lockdown at the moment. So there was, of course, outcry regarding this photo, and President Cyril Ramaphosa called a special meeting with Ndabeni-Abrahams yesterday. And then this morning, the presidency released a statement saying that she will be on special leave for 2 months, 1 month of which will be unpaid. What I think was really, really great, though, was that Ramaphosa said, or the presidency said, that Ramaphosa was unmoved by mitigating factors she tendered. So essentially, he didn't care what her excuse was. The fact of the matter is that she was out socializing and not doing what she was supposed to be doing when you're out, which is rendering an essential service, getting an essential good, or seeking medical attention. Lunch with a mate does not fall under any of those. So yeah, it's really nice to see governments reacting so quickly. We've also seen that the EFF right now, as we're recording this podcast, will be laying charges against Minister Ndabeni-Abrahams. So yeah, we'll see how that pans out. Robin, what have you got for us from the news front?
Well, I was wondering, was it too early to say there's no such thing as a free lunch?
Wow, that's a good one though.
Yeah, so I guess my first bit of news is the PS5, or PlayStation 5, what do you want to call it? So we don't have any further details as to the console itself, but Sony did tease us with a look at the controller that the PlayStation 5 will be using. And gone is the DualShock name. So it won't be called a DualShock, but instead will be called a DualSense.
DualSense?
Yeah, DualSense.
Okay.
So kind of the reasoning behind that is that this controller will have haptic feedback, which is kind of a technology we've seen being used a lot of Apple's MacBooks, more recent MacBooks. And also the trigger buttons on the controller itself will be adjustable. So the tension, and it's also been mentioned that it won't be having that same kind of rumbling vibration effect. It'll now be the haptic feedback. And say, for example, if you're playing a game where there is a bow and arrow involved, or there is some kind of mechanism that involves tension, the haptic feedback and the adjustable triggers will essentially amp up in terms of tension the longer you hold on the button. So I think they're trying to make it a bit more immersive and realistic in terms of how gameplay works, mm-hmm. But we'll see how that works when the actual controller and PS5 see the light of day, which we should mention is still on for holiday 2020. So as far as we have seen to date, nothing has impacted the launch window for the PlayStation 5. We've seen obviously a lot of games that have been postponed, or their launches have been delayed as a result of COVID-19. That doesn't seem to be the case so far as PlayStation's latest console is concerned. So yeah. Just also wanted to touch on the fact that it is a new design, so we're getting a lot more softer and rounded edges. So I guess the iconic look of the DualShock controller is gone. It's in place of something that's a bit more, I guess,
modern
looking.
I would say it looks more modern. Like, it doesn't look like the old controller.
I'm on the fence about it. Yeah, well, the thing is, I really like the old controller.
Yeah, I don't know if I would use it. Look, I mean, I don't know if I'd use it. White controller just seems like a bad idea. I had a white mouse. The thing had to be cleaned daily. So, yeah.
I wonder if that's like a perhaps a little nod to what the design, or at least the colorway for the PlayStation 5 is going to be.
Ah, that is a good point.
Because, I mean, the Xbox Series X is all black. It's a black cube.
Yeah.
So why not differentiate yourself for something that's not black, I guess.
Yeah, two-tone.
I guess we'll see in holiday 2020 when you start selling vital organs to actually buy the consoles.
Yeah, because I think that they are going to be quite pricey. Moving on, last week we discovered that the donations made by the Rupert family, or Remgro, were actually loans that were going to be dispersed to businesses. We had a chat this morning with Mark Paper, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Business Partners Limited, who is essentially the company that will be overseeing the loans, dispersing the loans, and then collecting interest and stuff once that time comes around. So there was a bit of confusion in regards to these loans. Initially, we thought that they were donations, and it is technically a donation because the Rupert family will not be taking the money back. However, the money is being put into a fund called the Sukuma Relief Program, and the idea is that this becomes a sort of self-sustaining fund that small businesses can draw from if need be when they hit times of trouble. So we had a chat with Mark Paper regarding all the details of those loans, the interest repayments, how much interest you will pay, the effective interest rate that you'll pay over the 48-month repayment period. Just getting the details of it down so that businesses understand what they're getting themselves into. Obviously, businesses should do their own due diligence, but we just wanted to kind of get that process going, give people an idea of what they're getting themselves into with these loans. And from what we can see and from what we've seen from business partners, these look like really good loans. Of course, there are obligations on the side of the business, and the business needs to make sure that it is able to fulfill those demands, obviously, at the end of the period. But there are things that are explained, such as what happens if your business closes down and you've got this loan under your name. The long and short of it is that you won't be personally liable for that fund. It will fall within normal liquidation practices and that sort of stuff. So just to give people an idea of what is expected of them, how business partners decides who qualifies and who doesn't for this loan. It's just a nice breakdown. Very, very, very helpful and really nice. That's really big thanks to business partners for actually chatting to us and setting the record straight and talking us through the entire process. So if you're a small business that is in need, I would say go and apply for a loan from business partners. But unfortunately, the program is closed at the moment because there was way too many applications. I think yesterday the report was 2.8 billion rand worth of loans had been requested through the portal, and obviously there's only a billion rand, so now it becomes a case of weeding through people and seeing who qualifies and who doesn't. Nice little rundown from business partners. Gives us a great idea of how the Rupert family's money is going to be spent, or not spent, but rather dispersed to businesses. Also, I do want to emphasize that neither business partners nor the Rupert family will be making money off of this. The idea behind this is that the Sukuma Relief Fund is a long-standing thing that then kind of helps businesses as they go. Business partners told us that any additional expenses that are incurred through this program, they will cover the costs for. It won't come out of the fund. Kind of put my mind at ease, and I think it'll put a lot of business owners who have applied for the loan and weren't really sure what was happening, might help to put their minds at ease as well. So yeah, we'll link to that at the bottom of this post as per usual. And then Robin, what you got to close us off on?
Yeah, so I guess another tool that'll help out SMEs. As you may or may not know, any South African website that ends with the .za in its domain has to link to the South African coronavirus website. So that's a website that the Department of Health sprung up about a few weeks ago. So now it's law that you have to have a link to that website. And funny enough, it was a minister, Ndebeni Abrams, who outlined that change in the regulations. So, yeah. For a website like ourselves, it's obviously very easy to put in a link like that, especially as we are populating our website with content hourly, daily, all the time. So for SMEs, it might be a little bit more difficult, especially as they don't necessarily have a dedicated team handling their website. And also they're dealing with a lot of other kind of aspects related to their business. They're trying to keep their business afloat at the moment. So handling the website isn't really top of mind at the moment. So a local fintech firm called Bridgement have created a WordPress plugin. So this plugin is only for WordPress sites at the moment. It's a plugin that you can you can install into your website, and it'll essentially link to the South African coronavirus site, and you are then compliant from a regulation perspective, so you don't have to worry about. We think it's a handy plugin. It's worthwhile checking out, even if you aren't an SME. I know that Bridgement is saying that this is for SMEs in particular, but I think any South African website that isn't compliant yet and needs to get compliant should have a look at the plugin, and we've linked to it and all those good things.
Cool. Yeah. Very, very nice. It's really cool that there's a plugin like this, because like you say, I mean, I remember before I started working for Hypertext, I worked for a small company. We ran a WordPress website, but like, for instance, the business owner didn't know how to add a little widget to do things. So it's really nice that Bridgement has created this little plugin. And it's free, I suppose?
It's free to use and to plug in.
Okay, fantastic. Awesome. Cool. So that's going to take us, that's going to wrap up our news for this week. Of course, all the stories will be linked to at the bottom of this post for you to peruse at your pleasure. And today we're actually going to, we're carrying on with the format that we introduced last week, where we have one big topic and we talk about it amongst ourselves until we're sick of talking. And today we're actually going to talk about how local companies have pivoted. I've jokingly among my friends referred to 2020 as the year of the pivot, because everybody seems to be pivoting. Everybody seems to be changing their business model. I think we're going to start off with probably the more basic folks that have kind of changed their operations, and then we'll move to folks that have just taken us from left field and as to what they're doing. I think the best place to start is Takealot. So Takealot, as everybody knows, is an online retailer in South Africa, and ahead of lockdown, they wanted to stay open for business because they do sell groceries and some essential goods that folks might need. And they got permission to do that, but they basically had to take their entire website off, not offline. The website was still accessible, but they basically had to lock off every single section of their websites and only allow you to shop for certain items. That process took quite a while, because I remember logging in on a Friday afternoon after we got the note that they wanted to remain open for business, and trying to shop and getting errors and, oh, sorry, this is out of stock now, etc. And then only on the Monday did the service actually go live, where folks could order essential goods and have them delivered to their home. But there was quite a process from their side in terms of just reworking their entire website to only have the essentials available. And you can see it yourself. If you head to the Takealot website, you'll see that there are very few categories. The categories have basically been stripped down to only the essentials. And I think that's a good thing, because, you know, folks might be accidentally trying to buy a graphics card or something. We'll get to that in a second, though. But yeah, they've had to implement a whole bunch of measures to kind of make sure that folks are safe. So they've detailed how stuff is being sanitized at their warehouse, how delivery drivers are taking safety precautions, and all these things. There's also contactless delivery. I wish I could tell you more about this, because I've actually made an order through Takealot for some essential items, which include coffee, because I've now run out of coffee and things are starting to get really weird here. But they haven't made the delivery yet. I understand that things are a bit different. Something that I will note, however, is that you can't actually call Takealot if you have an issue. You can email them, and they are very quick to respond via email. So that's really nice. But in terms of calling people, you're not allowed, you can't call. If you do call their helpline number, it just tells you that people are working from home. But it has been really impressive to see how they've managed to keep things running and keep things going. Although my order was scheduled for delivery yesterday, and then I couldn't hear from anybody until like after 5 o'clock, and then, oh, your order's being delivered tomorrow instead. But I will write down my entire experience as part of a story and explain it. Robin, have you seen anybody kind of pivoting to kind of offer essential services during this time?
Yes, so I guess one of the bigger ones would be Uber Eats. Earlier this week, they announced that they would be, that I guess they have the status of a essential goods provider now. So initially when the lockdown happened, Uber Eats said that it would not be, well, rather the Uber Eats portion of Uber said it would not be operating, but Uber, the actual ride-sharing service, would be operating under certain hours. And now Uber Eats is up and running. So essentially you'll be able to order groceries and essentials via the platform. They explained to us that there will be a minimum delivery charge of 25 Rand, and then there'll also be obviously the option to tip your Uber Eats driver or deliverer.
Mm.
And we're obviously advising people to tip as much as they can.
Yeah.
Because this is not an easy service to be kind of handling at the moment, given all the fears around COVID-19 and the lockdown. So these people are taking a lot of risks when it comes to actually ensuring that other South Africans have access to the food and groceries and services that they need. So as far as I understand, the other options that will be available via Uber Eats are things like requesting a no-contact delivery, which means that the delivery person will leave the item outside your door. There's obviously live tracking, so you'll be able to see when the package or delivery actually gets to your door. So it's not a case of people just dropping things off without knowing. The app will still have full, I guess, interface in terms of that. You can also, Uber Eats kind of explains that they will be adhering to all the regulations that the Department of Health has outlined in terms of their own staff, ensuring that things are clean, that hygiene has been adhered to. But we have also reached out to Uber Eats just to get clarity in terms of what they're doing for their drivers specifically. Things like making testing available, specifically COVID-19 testing available to their drivers, as well as what precautions are being taken in terms of ensuring that they themselves are safeguarded against, whether they be given things like face masks or gloves, any kind of other medical gear. So yeah, we're still waiting for feedback on Uber Eats with regards to that. So we should be hearing back from them later this week. And when we do, we'll have, of course, have a story about that.
So I do want to just mention something. So in kind of breaking off of what you've said, Bottles, the app just called Bottles, usually does alcohol deliveries. And they've now switched their entire offering to do deliveries for Pick and Pay. So the reason I bring this up now, even though we haven't actually covered it, is because yesterday I decided, hey, you know what? I want to just see if I can get some stuff delivered to my area. Unfortunately, I can't, but that's beside the point. I just looked at some of the prices that I saw on Uber Eats compared to Bottles. And somehow, Bottles is offering stuff for cheaper than Uber Eats. I'm not sure how it's working. Uber Eats says that the pricing is being determined by the store, which, cool, we understand. What I don't understand then is how Bottles is able to offer it at relatively the same price. So to give you an example, a loaf of brown Albany bread through Uber Eats costs R29.99. Through Bottles, it's just under R15. So there's like a 50% price difference there, which is just very, very strange. So if you are somebody that can't go out to a store and needs to have stuff delivered to you, I would say maybe just shop around as much as you can online. Check Bottles, check Uber Eats, check, I know Checkers has 60, I think it's called. that does deliveries, and Pick and Pay also does deliveries. So maybe just shop around. Don't just go, okay, well, Uber Eats is the one, I'm going to go with it. You might actually end up saving some money if you go with one of the other options. So just not saying.
Netflorist as well?
That was my next sort of thing, was also Netflorist now. So Netflorist delivers flowers and chocolates and teddy bears and stuff to your significant other when you done goofed and you messed up. But now they're offering fresh produce deliveries. So if you head over to the Netflorist website, you'll be greeted with a notice that they're not selling the normal stuff, but you know, they are selling fresh produce. So you can shop for fruit and vegetables and have them delivered to your door. I'm not 100% sure what their delivery fees are, but hell, if you need fresh fruit and vegetables, then Netflorist seems to be offering that with next day delivery, not same day delivery. So if you need it for tomorrow to make your soup or your corn beans, then I think maybe order the day before. So I mean, it's such an incredible thing to see, but I think you mentioned it yesterday in our Slack channel, Robin, is that you'd like to see these sorts of services live on.
I'm actually quite interested to see, like something like Bottles, for example.
Yeah.
And also Netflix. They have a network of couriers in the country. So why not make the most of it and then kind of, like we've been saying, pivot into something else or expand on what your original offerings are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Example. And we mentioned them because I guess they're perhaps the most high profile, or perhaps even the most popular option in the country. But having a marketplace where there are multiple operators is always going to be greater for the consumer because there's more options.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what's going to be important moving forward.
And building off of that, I mean, just thinking off the top of my head, I mean, a lot of these services are literally just a delivery service, and they source the product from another company. So especially in terms of Takealot, there were a couple of items that I needed to wait for Takealot to receive from their supplier before my order could be shipped out. And that's a nice way to give small businesses a leg up, small businesses that are supplying like essential goods, but maybe don't have that network of couriers, that don't have that that public site, you know. Like it would be a good way to help support them in this sort of time. I've seen some reports that some restaurants are selling frozen foods. I can't confirm that though. I've seen a couple of tweets, and I'm chasing the story up at the moment, but I've seen that might be a good way for restaurants to, you know, keep on making money while also getting rid of stock that is probably going off now that lockdown is in effect. But like you say, it would be really cool, especially for somebody like Bottles. I think that like the problem with me for Bottles is that like if I am going to have a beer in the once in a rare blue moon that I do, I'm sure as hell not going to use Bottles to get that, because it's just not something that I think of. But if I'm sitting at home on a Saturday, I'm like, oh, you know what, I really don't want to go to the shop, hell, dial up Bottles and have them deliver groceries to me. I think that would be a really, really great service to carry on into the future.
Yeah, so hopefully, I guess, once the lockdown has ended, whenever that's going to be, and COVID-19 has, I guess, we've been able to flatten the curve, a lot of these companies will start thinking about how they can actually branch out into newer avenues, or rather maintain the expanded services that they're offering at the moment. So yeah, it should be interesting to see how that plays out in the future.
So kind of building off of this conversation, I also kind of want to throw forward to a piece that I wrote this week that built off of something that happened last week as well. So Wootware, if you don't know, they are a PC component and tech supply retailer in South Africa. They operate online only. And last week we learned that they were open for business. And it seems that they have a legitimate license to operate, and it kind of got my brain juices flowing. At first, I was like, but hang on, how is a graphics card an essential item? How is a motherboard an essential item? And the more I thought about it, the more it actually started to make a bit of sense to me. Because, for instance, let's say I am working at home. We're all working from home now. If there is a storm and lightning hits my router, I can't access the internet. So how do I get a replacement? Because if I go to Checkers, they're not going to have routers. If I go to Pick and Pay, they're not going to have routers. Take a Lot is not selling routers. And there's all these places that are considered essential, but there's some things that just, if they break and you can't get them, well, then you're kind of screwed. So tech is one of those things. I'm sure there are many more that should be considered essential that aren't, but for just from my understanding, like tech, I think whoever came up with the essential items stuff kind of missed the beat in that regard, because a lot of companies are able to work from home now. They are able to continue operations with staff working from home. But if those staff members aren't able to keep working, if something happens and their laptop breaks, how do you get a replacement to that person? And it's kind of, I'm kind of thankful that Wootware thought of this before of us, because if something had happened to my PC, I already have a hard drive that sounds like it is dying. And if that hard drive dies, I lose a lot of stuff. Thankfully, most of my stuff is in the cloud, but I lose a lot of content that is on there that is kind of, I can't keep in the cloud. So it's really cool that they're open, but it did get me wondering about like what other essential stuff was kind of missed by government when the regulations were published. I understand that food and medicine are very important in this time, but there are other things that don't immediately strike you as essential, but the more you think about them, the more it becomes like, yeah, it's actually a good point. Like, if my hard drive or my laptop dies, or my whole laptop drive dies, what do I do? So Wootware is open for business. They are operating with a what appears to be a skeleton staff. They have a certificate from the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission. There are only 6 employees working at the moment. They only have a license to have 6 employees working. So if you are ordering stuff through Wootware, perhaps just be rather kind in dealing with the folks, because they are minimal staff and they are trying to get people essential stuff. On that note, if you're simply just looking to upgrade your PC, please don't do that, because it's not essential at this point in time. Of course, I'm not telling you that you're not allowed to spend your money, but let the service remain open for those that need it. Like, if for instance, the Department of Health has a massive issue where all of its PCs die, and they need to get replacements, then a company like Wootware being open is going to prove incredibly valuable. So unless you absolutely need it, I would say this for most things. Like, if you are using these essential delivery services, if it is not essential that you use them, don't use them. If you are well enough to go out to a shop and get essential goods, maybe do that. I know a lot of people are going to shout at me for doing the Take A Lot thing. I was testing it. All right, I tested it. My original delivery was supposed to be for the 17th of April. That was my original delivery date. And that was fine with me, because I understood that there were probably things that were more important. But yeah, it's just interesting to see how these companies have turned around and have kind of carried on business in some creative ways. I think a lot of people will criticize these companies, though.
I was of the same opinion when iStore announced that it would be closing its physical locations but still be operating online. I initially thought that was just a money grabbing ploy, but I've since kind of changed my mind with that, because although yes, I know people that use Apple devices are somewhat disliked amongst other consumers, but I thought it was really cool that the local iStores were doing what they're is actually offering repair collections. So if you have put in a device that needs to be repaired, they will come collect it from your residence.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was really helpful.
Yeah.
They've also extended their technical support hours. So the online technical support is now from 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening, and that's every single day during the lockdown.
Oh, wow. Which I thought
was helpful as well. And they've also been making a lot of their online programs, a lot of stuff like training and learning different pieces of Mac software. Those are free to kind of join the sessions online as well. So I understand that a lot of companies are approaching the lockdown differently. I know, like, for example, Vodacom, for some reason, they are keeping all of their physical stores open, which doesn't really make a lot of sense considering the lockdown and the fact that a lot of people won't be able to travel. But I think iStore have been quite smart. They have kind of said that they will only be dealing with companies who deal with essential services. So if their employers, sorry, their employees are using Mac products or they're using iPhone products or iPads or whatever, and those need replacements or those you need to order more of those kinds of devices, they are assisting in that regard. So that's how they have kind of framed their license and their ability to operate during this time. They have said, however, that the online store is still operating. So you can order non-essential items, or you can be a non-essential worker and order items from the online store.
Yeah.
But they have advised that they'll only be delivered after the lockdown, so you're going to have to wait a while. So at least they are prioritizing essential staff, essential items, essential services and stuff.
I mean, it's I honestly, like, looking back at the past week and just seeing how many services have come to the fore to assist South Africans, because I think when the lockdown started, a lot of people were like, oh, but how am I going to get this? Oh, what about these people that can't get out, you know? And as we've worn on, I mean, I think it's vitally important to note that this is the first time in our democracy that something like this has happened. And the fact that people weren't prepared shouldn't come as a shock to people, because how could you prepare for this? It's like saying, oh, well, why didn't you wear a jersey in Cape Town? Because you all know the way it's going to rain anyway. But I mean, there's no way we could have prepared for this. And the speed at which companies have pivoted is very, very commendable. And I look forward to seeing more companies kind of come up with these creative solutions to continue serving customers, but also to keep their staff working and earning a salary and generating enough income to earn a salary. I think that's a point that I also overlooked when I first saw these companies trying to come back. Oh, they're just trying to make money. But at the same token, there are thousands of people that work at these companies, perhaps not in the case of Rootwear right now, but generally there are thousands of people that work and that these companies use in terms of couriers, in terms of support staff, like at call centers and stuff. And obviously call centers can't be open at the moment in some instances, but there are ways that these people are getting around it, such as Takealot support team working from home and being accessible via email. I'm going to keep talking about this because Takealot, I'm watching you after this lockdown is over. Your response during lockdown has been fantastic. Keep it up after lockdown, because that is the one thing that people complain about, is that getting a response from Takealot is like finding hen's teeth. So after the lockdown is where I think people are going to start going, okay, but how are you now? Are you going to keep this going? Because I think especially with Uber Eats, Bottles, those sorts of services, they are proving to be invaluable for South Africans. And I think that they will continue to be as valuable as they are.
I think we kind of mentioned it last week as well. Obviously the lockdown and COVID-19 pandemic is terrible. But it is bringing to light a lot of the digital services and solutions that have been talked about a lot over the past few years, but have really failed to come to fruition. And now we're getting almost a litmus test of how effectively you can bring those systems into play.
Yeah.
I think the same thing applies here in terms of digital services, online services as well.
Absolutely.
Effectively you can bring into the country.
Yeah, and then we wanted to mention it, and I clean forgot, but Mr. D Food has now partnered with MediRite, which is the ShopRite Checkers pharmacy. They have partnered with them to deliver prescriptions and medication to MediRite pharmacy customers. So we'll have a story about that. It may come after this podcast is published, but we will have news on that. So if you do need prescription medication and you don't want to go out into the shops, which makes sense, then Mr. D Food apparently can deliver that for you. We'll have the details in a story. I just wanted to mention that as well, because that's another clever way that a company is pivoting. Because, yeah, getting your prescription right now, do you really want to go into a pharmacy? I know I don't. The last place I want to be is a hospital. Not to say that hospitals are unclean, but it is a high-risk area. Salute to all the healthcare workers that are in hospitals working their butts off. You are the real heroes. But yeah, it's just like, it's so great to see this happening, but I do hope that it continues forward into the future. And I'm also curious to see what else comes to the fore in the next couple of weeks. I know that lockdown is scheduled to end next week, the 16th. So on the 17th, lockdown will be officially over. But I'm curious to see what happens in the next week. See if more companies come to the fore, because we don't know if this lockdown is going to be extended. I saw a report that Ramaphosa will have scientific evidence to see if the lockdown has worked later this week. So, yeah, I suppose we'll hear from the presidency and governments before the 16th of April as to what's happening with the lockdown. What else can we really do except wait in anticipation? But yeah, so Takealot, Wootwear, Bottles, Uber Eats, Mr. D Food, Net Florist, who am I missing? I think that's it. That we know of.
Takealot as well, I guess.
Yeah, that we know of are now rendering essential services online. So if you need something and you're not in a position to go to a shop, maybe you don't have a car, maybe the person is elderly, that's a cool way to be able to get stuff. It's also, just by the way, you can schedule deliveries to other places. So if you don't live with your parents and they might need some food, hell, you can schedule a delivery using Uber Eats and have food delivered to them. So vice versa, they can deliver food to you.
Please send me some food.
But yeah, it's really cool to see, and it's nice to see companies kind of changing the way that they operate for the good of everybody rather than just the good of themselves, which I think often is the case. Not always the case, but it is often the case. And yeah, it makes me feel a bit good. Like I was feeling very neutral when this podcast started, but now that we've spoken and it's actually like able to see everything in one big picture, it's given me a bit of hope in humanity once again.
Well, long may it continue.
Yeah, here's hoping it continues. Of course, if you want to tell us about your experience with online stuff, drop us a comment on Facebook or over on Twitter during the day between stories. We got nothing better to do, so chat to us. We'll chat to you. That's a lie. We have lots of stuff that we are doing in the background. Let me not say I have nothing to do, because each day at 5 o'clock, I'm like, okay, I can get some sleep now. But yeah, tell us what your experience have been. It'll be nice to get another perspective from folks. But I think that's going to do it from us for this week. Unless you want to add something, Robin?
The thing to add is stay home and stay safe.
Yeah, that's a good thing to add. But that's going to be it from us here at Hypertext. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy the long weekend. So happy to be able to stay at home.
I think the only good thing is that there are a lot of people on the roads over Easter weekend.
Yeah. That is a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once lockdown is over, folks, please don't go out and drink and drive. Continue to stay safe. If you're going to go out, stay safe. Use an Uber. Don't drink and drive. Do all those good stuff. But yeah, stay safe. Have a happy Easter period. Easter weekend, I guess it is, long weekend if you don't observe the Christian holidays. But yeah, thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll chat again next week. From myself, Brendan Lutz, cheerio. From Robin Chetty, we'll see you next week.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.